reading to you from the 8th chapter of John, and with the 47th verse. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God made me preach. Now, friends, a lot of people today, I'm serious, a lot of preachers are preaching today who are not called of God. In fact, there's an awful lot of preachers on TV and radio that aren't even saved. You say, how can that be? Well, it is. Believe me, it is. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back, and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea, hot coffee. Why, you might even want a peanut butter sandwich. And let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 John in the 2nd chapter, and with the 6th verse. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. We've labored this one from profession to perfection. Now, first of all, the Christian life begins with a new birth. Now, I have heard people say they were born a Christian. Not so, beloved, not so. Mm-mm. You're born again when you trusted Jesus as Savior. Now, when you were born as a little baby, you didn't trust nobody. No, you didn't. Well, John says in the first verse, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. Well, again, how do we get born again? We're born again through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what Paul, Nicodemus was told by Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we know that we all have a physical birth. Everybody listening to this broadcast tonight has a physical birth. But Jesus said that's not enough. You must be born twice, or born from above. How do we do that? We have to confess that we're sinners. And a lot of people, including my missus, had an awful time believing that she was a sinner. Now, I didn't have a problem. I knew I was a sinner because I was an alcoholic. And I knew the Bible said, I knew this when I was a little boy, that a drunkard will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I was 9 years old, me and Eldon Byers and my sister signed a thing in this old family Bible that we would never drink or smoke as long as we lived. And I broke that, my sister broke it, and so did Buck. The morning I was saved, I was reminded that I'd signed that in God's holy word. It really gave me a thrill. God wants us to be confident in our salvation. He don't want you to say, well, I think I'm going to heaven, well, I hope I'm going to. No, he wants you to know The word know, K-N-O-W, is found 40 times in this epistle. Now, the joy of knowing we are the children of God. Now, there's three words for the family. Profession, progression, and perfection. What is profession? Well, he that saith, he abideth in him. You know, we downplay the importance of profession. Now, I go to the Denver Rescue Mission, and we have 400 or 500 that we speak to twice. Two services. And I always give an invitation, like I do on the radio. Always give an invitation. And then I ask them to come forward. Now, them coming forward does not save them, but they come forward to show the world, it's a testimony, that you have repented of your sins and received Christ as Savior. And I do that in the penitentiaries, and I do that in reform schools. It's very important, a profession of your faith, and let the world know it. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Well, quiet faith preferred by many to zealous witnessing. Hey, listen, don't you stand up there and try to tell me that God called you to be a silent witness, because that's a lie. You read in the book of Acts, we are to be witnesses in Judea and Jerusalem and all uttermost parts of the world. I want to see men and women who really believe in Jesus, and if you believe in him, tell about him. Use your wisdom, though, my dear friends. You can be belligerent in your witnessing. You sure can. Be loving, be caring, be concerned, and that person will catch on to what you're saying. And we're to give testimony of our faith. And boy, howdy, you don't see much of that today in churches. Think about it. Think about your own church. When was the last time you had a testimony meeting? There should be one every Sunday. Somebody every Sunday should give a quick testimony. It's just as important. In fact, it may be important than my preaching or your pastor's preaching. A good testimony of how someone met the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, believe and confess. That's what the book said, believe and confess. Well, we are to be his witnesses, and I read and told you about Acts, the first chapter, and that we're to be witnesses here in Jerusalem, Judea, and uttermost parts of the world. Now you say, well, Cecil, now wait a minute. Come on. Let's get this all straightened out. Now you take a lot of people believe in confessing baptism. Well, why are you baptized? It is an act of obedience. It does not save you. It does not wash away your sins. Well, you say, but my Catholic religion, they say that when I'm baptized as a baby, that's enough. Oh, but it's not, because baptism don't save you. And anyway, a baby don't know right from wrong. Until you come to the age of accountability, you can't even be saved. What is that age? I don't know. Some say 12, some say 13, I don't know. But when you know that you're a sinner and the Holy Spirit of God convicts you, then you know that you need to be saved. But baptism is as a means of public witnessing. Buried with him, arise to walk in the newness of life. Oh, I tell you, I think baptism is a beautiful ordinance. And that's what it is. That's what it is. Ordinance, baptism, and the Lord's Supper is the ordinance of the church. Well, church attendance shows our priorities. And again, we still are to be witnesses, and many Christians are not. Now, our progression. We ought himself also so to walk. Believers are people on the move. Our walk should confirm our talk. Abiding in Christ should show in our walk. Parents are pleased when a child starts walking. Well, how shall we walk? Well, I read in Romans 13:13, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in railing or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife or envy. Then the Bible says that we're to walk in the Spirit. And I read in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, my friends, that flesh is out there all the time. Oh, my, it is. So we need to walk in the Spirit. And then we're to walk in love. And I read in Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us as a offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Then the Bible said we're to walk circumspectly, Ephesians 5:15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And here's a clincher. We're to walk in faith, Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. You know, friends, there's nothing more despicable. There's nothing more despicable than people who claim to be Christians and they walk like the devil. You know, I've seen things on the back of cars, the little fish, and then they drive their cars like they're demon-possessed. Or they'll put, I'm a member of the First Baptist Church, the First Presbyterian Church, and they drive like they're insane. Or they'll cuss somebody, or they'll flip them off if they get mad at them. Oh, friends, that's a bunch of hooey. And the Bible said, even in perfection, even as he walked. We have a great example to follow. And I read in 1 Peter 2:21. Now you know we are not perfect. Of course we're not. But Jesus is. It says 1 Peter 2, who by him believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, so that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which by the gospel is preached unto you. Friends, listen. If Jesus wasn't perfect, and if he wasn't born of a virgin, he could not be our Savior. God could not use a blemished object to die for our sins. Now, why do we have to be born again? Well, because of our forefathers, Adam and Eve. Out there in the garden, they had everything that they could have ever wanted. There was only one stipulation that the Lord set forth. He said, don't eat of that one fruit. Well, Eve was out wandering through the garden one day enjoying herself, and all of a sudden, she comes to this tree. And it looks so good. Sin always looks good, beloved. Sin always looks good. You know, one of the nasty, terrible things that I used to do, I'd come home from the bar and I'd say to my wife, come on, Jean, let's get a babysitter and let's go down to the bar. It's a nice place. They're good people and it's a family bar. It was an evil place. Oh, friends, I don't have one good word to say for bars, taverns, clubs. I have no good word to say about them. Because it was there that I spent the most miserable years of my life. I wasted all these years on booze and gambling and sin. I sure did. And I smoked my cigarettes and I smoked my cigars and I chewed tobacco. Oh, I did all those things. And you know what? I've been on oxygen for the past 9-10 years, day and night. You think I didn't pay for some of that? I've got scars on my body from the sins of my life. But you know what? When we follow Jesus, we're following a perfect Savior. Others fail, but you know what? Jesus does not fail. If we focus on Jesus, there's going to be no fault of others. Now, in looking to Jesus, we can be victorious. And I read in Hebrews 12, too. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, listen. When we meet Jesus, the Bible said we will be like him. And it says in 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I've told you before, someday we're going to have to stand before Jesus and give an account for our lives. What are you going to tell him? Well, Lord, you know, I had an opportunity to be a governor. I had an opportunity to be a senator, and I had to work hard at that. And he's going to say, but you never took time for me. Only time that you called upon me, son, was when you had a problem, when you was in need. That's the only time you ever contacted me. And where's those precious souls that I put you in contact with? Those lost people in the government. Where are they at? Well, Lord, I was so tied up in the job that I did. How in the world was I going to know that you wanted me to talk to him? Because I told you so in my word. But you never opened the word and you never looked into the word. Now he says, if we see the enemy coming and we don't warn him, the blood will be upon my hands. You've heard me say this many times. I don't understand that fully. But I'll tell you, it means something. You and I know that the enemy's out there. We know that there's death and hell for those who reject Christ. So what are we doing? We need to tell them. We need to plead with them. We need to beg with them. Our lives should magnify Jesus and not self. But then it says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, I love that. Three commitments to make a difference in our walk. I'll not look at the faults of others. Hey, I was talking about that the other day to a friend of mine in the Dalles. I said, boy, it's sure easy to see your faults. My stars, it's hard for me to see mine, no. Well, I tell my wife that every day. Now, oh, I did something the other day, friend. Don't ever, if you're married and you're a man, listen to me. Don't ever ask your wife about job description. I made a mistake. My wife asked me to do something. And flippantly I said, well, is that in my job description? And boy, howdy, I found out it was. Isn't it funny how men are slow to learn? You say, you're a preacher. You ought to know that. I ought to, but I didn't. I was stupid. I should have known that. You know, friends, I'll tell you what. When you find a perfect preacher, you'll be at his funeral. That's right. You won't see a perfect preacher on this earth. Too many times people worship their preacher. Just like Mr. Obama thinks he's the savior of the world. Well, he's not even saved himself. You said, how do you know? Well, did you read the book he wrote about if he would choose between Christianity and Muslim? He said, I'll take the Muslims any day. Read it in his book. I will look for evidence of Christ-likeness in others. Now I'll keep looking to my perfect Savior. Now, let's make these life-changing commitments today. I'll ask you today, have you ever witnessed to a lost man or woman? You say, no. Have you ever tried to introduce a soul to Christ? No. Well, I'm going to tell you right to your face, in love, you're a sorry Christian. I'm saying that in love. I'm not mad at you. God's not mad at you. But, oh, friends, don't you realize what we're doing? What an opportunity God has given us. Do you ever pray for holy boldness and say, Lord, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit and do me with power of mine eye. Give me holy boldness. Help me, Lord, to be a soul winner for Jesus. When is the last time that you said, Father, I love you? You say, you got to be kidding me, Cecil. No, I'm very serious. When was the last time you told God you loved him? Oh, he loves to hear that. You know, my little I've got 48 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And many of them have come and told me, said, we love you, Grandpa. Oh, my stars, it melts my old heart. I'm 85, but I still love to hear it. Oh, yes, I do. I sure do. And I love to tell them that I love them. What a joy they've met in my life. You know, someone said, grandchildren is God's way of rewarding us for growing old. And I have to amen that. Sure, I do. And it's a joy to be able, my little 2.5-year-old the other day. Let me tell you what she did. I was sitting in my chair, easy chair. And she walked right by me, never said nothing, never even looked at me, and acted just like she didn't know I was there. Yeah, and I said to her mother, I said, I wonder what I did to Elizabeth to make her mad at me. And all of a sudden, she comes over and she throws her arm around my neck and she pats my back and says, I love you. Oh, my. If I had $1 million, she could have had it. It meant so much. See, she was playing a game with me. Oh, boy, they sure do. Well, I've tried to bond to all my grandchildren, but I got 6 or 7 I haven't been around hardly ever. And so I have never a chance to bond with them, but I love them. And I pray for every day, I pray for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren to be saved. Every day, do that for your family. If your wife isn't saved, pray for her. If your husband's not saved, pray for her. If your mom or your dad or your children, pray for them. That's our obligation. If you can't witness, you can sure pray, but you can do both. Well, friends, I tell you what. Let's get serious tonight. Let's say, Lord, you know what, Cecil's right. I really haven't been the kind of Christian that I ought to be, and I'm sure people wonder sometimes if I really am a Christian. And that's sad. Oh, that's sad. But, you know, do you believe in rededication? I do. When the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of our hearts and tells us, hey, you've done this, you've done this, you've done that, you shouldn't do it, ask me and I'll forgive you. You come to him and say, Lord, I've been so guilty, but Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And he will. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Tonight I'm going to pray. Father, I pray for that backslidden Christian. God, bring him back to you. Help him to surrender their lives completely. Fill him with your blessed Holy Spirit and give him souls for their hire. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not saved tonight, you need to be saved. This might be the very last time God will ever give you an opportunity. And if you'd like to be saved, and would you get a little tugging at your heart, would you bow your head to me right now and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, I confess that I've been wrong. Tonight I want to open my heart and receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that, get on a phone call, 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air, won't embarrass you, and I sure won't use name on the air. Okay, give me a call. Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cesar Moe. Thank you so much for listening, dear friends, and I hope and pray that we said something that encouraged you. If you're kind of cold toward the Lord, come back and ask him to heat your heart up. Oh, he wants you to love him, and he wants to love you, and he does. Well, friends, I want you to continue to pray for my wife and I as we go to prisons and go to rescue missions and the tape ministries around the country. Pray that God will bless us and give us souls for our hire. So until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.